Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Sure sign that spring has finally arrived. Some black drum, a.k.a. the boomers, are in, getting caught in Great Bay. Some being caught down in Fortescue. Oh, give it another week, and they will be here in numbers. Togbite is still going crazy. Striper bite is on freshwater. You got your largemouth, your pickerel, your crappies. Trout by the numbers this week, the second week of the in-season stocking schedule. On Monday, the 17th, the Toms River is going to get 530. The North Branch Matitacon 320, the South Branch 500, Prospertown Lake 290, and Shenandoah Lake 420 on Tuesday the 18th. Greenwich Lake and Harrisonville Lake 360, Iona Lake 330, Chandler Sandwash 310, Swedesboro Lake 410, Grenlock Lake 300, Oak Pond, one of my faves, 330, and Rowan's. Little Rowan's pond's going to get 100. Check that little place out, man. Those trout give it up. On Wednesday the 19th, Birch Grove Park ponds, those first two ponds are going to get stuffed with 300. Hamilton Lake 440, Heritage Park pond there behind the municipal building, a.k.a. the Obsequian Pit, 330. Gloucester City Pond 100, Crystal Lake 420, Pemberton Lake 420. That's a tough lake to fish, Pemberton. That's just a tough lake. We do it right there in like late February, early March of the crabbies, but that's a tough bite. Sylvan Lake 330, Laurel Pond 200, Southwest Branch of the Rancocas 180. On Thursday the 20th, Tuckahoe Lake 420, Pond de Lodge Pond 370, Shores Mill Pond 400, Mary Elma Lake 400, South Vineland Park Pond 370. Yes, the Morris River is going to get hit with 330, the Cohansie River 160, and next Friday, the 18th, Powhatan Lake right there on Route 9 in Tuckerton will be hit with 480. And don't forget, GM Petro was only stocked for opening day with 440, but has 50 of those monster 3.5-year-old breeders. I heard of two being caught there. One was about 5.5, and one was over 6. I mean, that's a big trout in anyone's book. We have a really jam show coming up in our next segment. We have Jim Hutchinson Jr., Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management, his editorial. We also have Lou Gambale from the National Wild Turkey Federation a little later on in the program. Hey, today from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., don't forget over there in Millville, the Fisherman's Flea Market is going to be at the Millville Elks Lodge, 1815 East Broad Street in Millville. Admission donate, best meatball sandwiches in South Jersey. I don't know who makes them over, but Mary, Mother of God, do I load up. You get some great deals, too. I don't know who the guy is, pour some dynamic plastic baits. Admission donation from 8 a.m. today until 9 a.m., $5. After 9 a.m., it's $2. Youngsters under 14 get in free. Okay, man, we're really jam show. Oh, by the way, just remember, over-the-counter turkey permits, leftover and unclaimed turkey permits are still available, and the Striped Bass Bonus Tag Program is accepting applications. Do that. That striper bite is hot. Oh, man, did you see the condition of these bloodworms? It's crime. Hey, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio coming up. Jim Hutchinson Jr., Managing Editor, New Jersey, Delaware Bay edition of The Fisherman. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
The Cape May County Chamber of Commerce invites you to the Business at the Beach Expo on Wednesday, April 19th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Wildwoods Convention Center. Don't miss the business event in Cape May County. Interact with exhibitors and connect with local business people at Cape May County's premier expo and networking event. Admission is free with your business card. The Business Expo offers one-stop shopping for the products and services your business needs. Get back to important business networking at the expo on Wednesday, April 19th. Visit capemaycountychamber.com/expo for more information.
Did you know Atlanta County has been recycling for more than 35 years? Recycling is an easy and important activity you can do every day to help the environment. ACUA reminds you to recycle metal cans, glass jars, cardboard, paper, and plastics with the numbers 1, 2, and 5 inside the recycling symbol. To help keep the successful system going, never put plastic bags in your curbside recycling container. And please rinse off food residue. To learn more, visit ACUA.com or call 609-272-6950.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Man, that was some hell of a week. What was it? What was it the other day? 90 or something like that? I was watching people passing out pretty much on the stream. Now, remember last week's show, listeners, I made it a point stressing, read the Fisherman Magazine's April issue, the New Jersey Delaware Bay edition. Jim Hutchinson, managing editor, incredible, hard-hitting, as best as you're going to read on the subject, called Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management. What is happening is fast tracking is getting, and you know my take on this, and we'll get into that a little later, but just the best you're going to read on. I have a Hutch on the line right now, able to get him, because he is probably going to be enjoying some fishing time if his boat gets in the water. We shall see. Jim, thanks for joining us. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock, Hutch. Listen, I must have read this editorial 50 times, and the more I read it, the more incensed I get. Really, Jim, you dissected this thing better than the frogs I did at Seton Hall Prep way back. go into this is really, listen, this is an eye-opener. The April edition of Fisherman, April issue of Jersey, Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman magazine. Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management. Jim, I remember your first editorial wrote about it. What was it, back in 2019, 18, 19, or 20 or something? Flesh this out, what is really going on here.
So, you know, I've done my due diligence on this industrial offshore wind. And as you said, it started in 2018, 2019. And when I first uncovered research at that time, existing research that showed that the electromagnetic fields in these high-powered undersea cables over in Denmark, where the first wind turbines were laid down, that EMF impacts flounder species. The flounder species are the only species that really shows significant avoidance characteristics, and catches were reduced around the cables and the commercial fishermen there. You know, so you're talking about different flounder and place, was it pace and sole. So I applied that to summer flounder, and I went to some early meetings. I said, what happens if this turns out true here at the Jersey Shore? What happens if summer flounder migrations are impacted? And a lot of folks said, well, we're looking into it. Orsted, at one of the meetings I was in, they said that's a really valuable, valid concern. But then I started getting attacked for wearing a tinfoil cap and, you know, being a climate change denier and being pro-oil. So I've continued along that path with publishing this stuff, Tom, because I know apparently I have tapped the vein somewhere, and I think that this is accurate. This is something that concerns me, and the situation we've gone through in the last several months since December of 2022 with the dead whales and right. dead dolphins, it was, as Congressman Smith in Northern Ocean County said, the whales are like the canary in the coal mine. You know, that big sure. hearing that was down in Wildwood last month, that was brought about because of the dead whales. And it's sad, but it has now opened some eyes to, well, are there any other concerns that you folks have? Well, yeah, there are a lot of concerns. The coal pool, navigation, radar jamming, and the EMF impact. So Congressman Van Drew has really led the charge in South Jersey. You know, I think there was a time when he gave a speech where he said that he was under the impression that Orsted and the rest of these wind companies were working with stakeholders and anglers. He was getting some false information, and now his eyes are opened, and so are several others. And regrettably, it's turned into a partisan issue in New Jersey, you know, between the members of the House. Anyway,
Jim, you made an excellent point here too about listeners. If the summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke fishery, is impacted by, 20% or something like that? You said, this is great, Hutch. You said, you know, you better be sure there's going to be cuts as per Magnuson. And whenever there's cuts or resource looks as in trouble, that fishermen are the first to blame, Hutch. That was brilliant.
Well, let me give you a quote, all right? I don't know if anybody's heard this quote before, but it's another study that was just released. It's a 388-page report from NOAA Fisheries. It's called Fisheries and Offshore Wind Interactions, Synthesis of Science. And this is what I'll write about in the May edition, because it just came out. But this report by NOAA and a bunch of other government agencies, they said that NOAA stock assessment research will be impacted by offshore wind, okay? So going back to what you just said, right? If fluke is interrupted by 25%, history sees that, they're going to say, well, it's off by 25%. But there's a different thing here that NOAA says they're not going to be able to do the research. So this research paper they just came out with said, by disrupting survey programs and the assessments that depend on them, offshore wind development will result in serious adverse impacts on U.S. fisheries. These impacts will lead to greater uncertainty and abundance estimates, which will likely lead to lower fishery quotas and lost revenues to commercial and recreational fishermen. So the latest report from NOAA says, listen, you're probably going to have a lower quota because we just can't do the research around these wind areas.
Whoa.
Everything that continues to come out is everything that has been reported back since 2018, and these people have been putting it under the rug. And you can thank the governor in chief for that.
How'd you get me pissed?
Everybody should be. I think that's what's happening is people are finally realizing where they're like, wait a minute, this isn't a it's not one turbine, it's not five, it's not ten, you're talking about 1,000. Oh, you wait a minute, you're going to run the cable where?
Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's starting to realize this is not the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, this is a rusty knife.
Hey, Jim, reminds me of, again, I'm sure my proclivities here, from the 2012 LP, Kiss's Monster. And there's a line in Hell or Hallelujah where this guy says, money makes the rules. Now, Hutch, we're talking how many billions that U.S. has received, as you point out in this editorial, from Orsted and these other companies? we're gonna give that money back? You know, Hutch, this is just a morass. This is like the rabbit hole.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, I mean, you really think about that. There's been a lot of money spent by wind companies to our federal government's the landlord, right?
Exactly.
So they've been taking all these lease payments, billions and billions and billions in lease payments. They're just leasing offshore land. So even if we were able to prove that, you know, let's say, you know, we get all the proof, we find a smoking gun that says wind is going to do this, it's going to be terrible, let's stop it. How's the Biden administration going to turn around and give back all that rent? Billions.
Exactly right.
You know, another big story just came out recently, you know, along the financial side. The president of J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, he just sent out a letter to shareholders in which he said, we may need to evoke eminent domain. We simply aren't getting the adequate investments fast enough for grid, solar, wind, and pipeline. So he wants the federal government to step in and say, we need some more eminent domain. Take over pieces of private property so that we can better invest our money into wind. Which is what the federal government's done, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And Murphy's done through the getting rid of home rule on energy. Because the folks in Ocean City said, we're not going to allow that cable to be run through our town. The law was changed in a matter of 10 days. And they said, yes, it is. We just said it will. You know, that's pretty much what we're talking about. If they don't get their way, they're just going to take it over. So, yeah, you're right. I think it's all about money. I think if you follow the money trail, it goes back to J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and every wealthy politician there is.
Joining us on the Rack and Fin line this morning is Jim Hutchinson, Jr., Managing Editor, New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of The Fisherman Magazine. Topic is his outstanding editorial in the April issue, Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management. Well, Jim, with all these billions of dollars, again, people calling me a cynic as it may, I believe, and Jeff Van Drew, God bless him, he's really leading the charge here. However,
yes.
Hutch, you've been around this a long time, especially your time with the RFA. I believe in my heart and black little soul that it's a done deal, that I don't personally think there's any way to stop this. Your take?
Optimism keeps me going. You know, I grew up in a sports family. I grew up playing football and baseball. My kids, my daughter, and I said, you never quit. You know, you get knocked down, you come back up again. If I believed that everything was a failure, I probably wouldn't fish this afternoon, right? You got to fight the fight until the fight is in you is done. So that's my belief. And there are a lot of folks out there that are doing great things, trying to get to the information that's at the root of this. Listen, there's also folks, and I've had the conversations too. There's also a lot of folks using pragmatism to say, let's talk to the wind folks so that if they do build these things, they do them in the right way. Mm-hmm. So there are discussions that are underway that way. But there are too many bold concerns And now the government's starting to release more information. Look, they just recently said, yeah, you're right. Wind development will adversely affect marine mammals, but it won't kill them. Adversely effective.
Just adversely effective, yeah.
They give them a rash, you know, a scratch on the near the blowhole. What is it?
Jim, you're indeed the wordsmith. Jim Robby, it's a hard break hanging for another segment with Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor, New Jersey Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman Magazine. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, Wind Whales and Wealth Management.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
I'm a doctor, but I can't think clearly anymore, so I can't do my job.
Long COVID causes debilitating cognitive issues.
I'm a runner, but now I can't walk 100 feet without getting exhausted.
Long COVID causes crippling fatigue that may last a lifetime.
I've lost friendships because of long COVID. I just don't feel well enough to see people.
People may look outwardly healthy, but they're suffering from a physical disorder that can upend lives.
Everything hurts. I can't even go out and play.
Up to 30% of COVID patients develop long COVID, and right now, there's no cure and little understanding.
I can't focus. I can't think straight. I can't keep a job.
So for those suffering daily, there's just one urgent question.
How long?
How long? How long?
How long?
Until we solve long COVID. The Solve Long COVID initiative is bringing together patients, researchers, doctors, and drug developers to find answers now. To learn more and see how you can help, go to solvelongcovid.org.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community. And the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the 5 things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 15th and 16th. Our guest, Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor, Delaware Bay and New Jersey. New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman Magazine. His editorial in the April issue, Wind Whales and Wealth Management. Well, Jim, before we get to this next topic, on the overall, like you said, even my cynical black little heart, you keep fighting the good fight. Even, Jim, to me, even if they can get some sort of significant delay to get, again, more information, but really gets my ass in the air, Hutch, is you have certain charter guys, recreational fishermen that are all for it. I ask them, okay, what about access? You're going to be able to fish around these things. And then you're hearing you're not. And then you're hearing you are. What's your take?
Listen, I have good friends who believe that this is a good thing. That doesn't make me not friends with them anymore. We have discussions, we have debates, it doesn't get angry. That's the way it's supposed to be. But there are enough people in the world that believe this is the only way to stem climate change, and we've got to go green, and it's going to be good structure. But when I lay this stuff out, they say, that's interesting. You know, you hope that in the real world, in the world we were taught, truth is what ends up being the savior, right? Mm-hmm. That's what succeeds, truth. So let's hope that that's what happens. You know, what ticks me off is that Congressman Smith, Congressman Kane, and Congressman Van Drew were the only three New Jersey members of the House of Representatives to vote for a bill that says, hey, let's have a full-scale investigation, nonpartisan, unbiased, at the Government Accountability Office about wind. Shall we? And all nine Democrats in New Jersey, including Pallone, voted against it. So the body shouldn't be partisan. This shouldn't be left and right going at each other's throats. Why don't we have a real investigation? Let's investigate this. Is there anything wrong with an investigation? No? Okay, we'll do it. But some people have a problem with an investigation. That's what triggers me. That's what gets me a little bit saying there's something about this that ain't right.
Well, Hutch, what gets me, Pallone was always the poster boy for fighting for fishermen's rights. He's basically been told what to do, in my opinion. Like, you're not voting for
him. I don't know about that. Listen, he's been a champion of the oceans. You know, if you think back to the 70s and ocean dumping and what we went through in 86, 87.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to go over that. You know, yes, he's always been a champion of fishermen. I think he's dropping the ball on this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Jim, let's get to another listeners. April, one of the best editions, best issues ever. There's a note in there, Jim, of the correspondent saying, New Jersey saltwater anglers must register to fish out. Yes, the free registry. Hutch, that was, I remember that thing a few years back when the state wanted to charge, what, $10 or $15? And you and Jimmy Dowdy, RFA, came like, whoa, what's this all about? Listen, it is a free registry, but you're facing fines of $25, $50, and then $100 if you do not comply. It's easy enough to do. But, Jim, what had me question is, you've had, you know, research done and these numbers that are bantered about the number of saltwater anglers in New Jersey and or visiting New Jersey, upwards of 500,000. And yet for the registry for the for hire boats and the individuals, 143,704 individuals and 745 for hire vessels registered to fish in saltwater. Aren't those numbers on the low side for what was always bantered about as how important or how many fishermen there actually are and how much goes into the economy?
Absolutely, they're on the low numbers, and I don't think they're accurate. I think it's more in line with 500,000. You know, there are different numbers. So we got three different sets of numbers right now. There are the actual registered anglers that New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife has. That's that 138 number. There's the estimates coming out of the Department of Interior and their U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which is more in lines with 500,000. And then you've got the numbers that come from the Commerce Department and NOAA Fisheries, which is in the neighborhood of about 1.2 million. So three sets of numbers that are wildly discrepancies, right? The problem in New Jersey is there's just not enough people registering. I think the state of New Jersey recognizes that. They need to do a better job. But I also think I had written a couple of editorials about this. Earlier this year, I wrote an editorial about a saltwater fishing license that was being proposed. It was being debated back in March. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that the previous, going back a previous administration and a fish and wildlife director screwed up in the state Senate. Could have had exactly what they wanted, the $2 to $5 saltwater fishing registry. They could have gotten money. They would have put more emphasis into this. But there was some politicking. He screwed it up, I think, on purpose. You know, the other thing is, and you and I have talked about it before, and I editorialized about this last year, maybe 2 years ago. We need a dedicated fish court.
You know, exactly right.
Where people who get busted for having too many fish, undersized fish, they're not being registered or whatever else they do, they go to a dedicated fish court that meets on a quarterly basis someplace. The whole thing is streamed online so we can all watch it at home, and we can watch scofflaws getting convicted, so to speak, in that courtroom for fisheries violations. Because as it is now, if you and I get a ticket for not being registered, we got to go into the court and, you know, where we are. We're up here in Ocean County someplace. We got to go into Lakewood Municipal Court and sit before a judge. And that judge has got to hear all kinds of violations from jaywalking and skipping out on a bill at the local restaurant. You know, by the time a fisheries violation comes up, the judge is like, get this out of my court.
Get out. Exactly right, Hutch.
So people are being let go left and right in the Northeast, in these Northeast states, for violations that range from this to that, right? We know what's going on. So why would you expect somebody to follow the law in fisheries if we're not going to start administering the law to people across the board on all kinds of convictions? What do we expect them to do with somebody who's violating a fisheries regulation? Bigger than fish, Tom. Much bigger than fish.
Okay, Hutch. Well, Jim, absolutely right. Again, listeners, what do you think? What do you think? A dedicated fish court? I know, hey, shout out to COs up there. It's all a good crew, but especially up there in that Essex-Hudson Union area, the way they're catching people with these undersized and over-the-limit stripers, up, down, and hundreds of stripers. I mean, and whatever happens, I mean, they go to court and you never hear, or they even, is a case even heard? Or, you know, it's just crazy. Well, Hutch, on a saltwater license thing, we're up into break in a couple of minutes. This is one of the funding, one of the reasons people are proponents of a saltwater license is more federal monies will come in, because one of the formula is, one of the things taken into consideration, or besides the number of waters, miles of coastline, whatever, is the number of licensed anglers. And Hutch described it perfectly as a Ponzi scheme. And Jim, I want you to avail the Rack and Fin Radio wide listenership on that. It was a perfect assessment. Go, man. We got a couple of minutes. Let it rock, Hutch.
So to get more of that federal funding to qualify for more of the wildlife restoration funds,
right,
it uses a formula of the number of licensed anglers and the size of your state, exactly what you said, except that the size of the state far outweighs the formulaic piece for number of licensed anglers. For example, Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, of saltwater fishing licenses, and they were all told they were going to get more money back. Yet if you look at the wildlife restoration funds given from the federal government, they get the same amount of money as New Jersey. And New Jersey doesn't get any less than those other states. Why? Because it was not real. It depends on the size of your state. That's why California, Texas, and Florida get more money back from the federal government than any other state on earth. Alaska, the same thing. This right. thing was written a certain way. It's a carrot that they dangle in front of your face, and it's not the way that it seems. So the fact that we're not losing out on any additional federal money.
There you go.
The only way to qualify for them is matching funds anyway. So, it's not true.
Hutch lays it out, listeners, and there it is, Jim. Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. By the way, are you going to get out on the water anytime soon? Now with rain, whatever, fish are already wet, whatever. But what's the deal, man?
So hopefully this afternoon, but earlier this week I was out and I walked around my local dock in Northern Ocean County, and cinderworm spawn was happening, which is one of my favorite things. So we're getting ready to just. If the powder keg hasn't exploded in Jersey, it's getting ready.
That's when I break out the 8-weight fly rod. Uh-oh, those cinnaworm hats, that's a lot of great fishing. Hutch, thanks again. Listeners, pick up the April issue of the Fisherman Magazine, New Jersey, Delaware Bay edition, and check out Hutch's editorial, Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management. He lays it out. Hutch, before I let you go, how's that wonderful family?
They are good. We're looking forward to getting them out in the boat soon.
Hey,
another week or so.
Has your dad been fishing or what?
He just splashed his boat in Tuckerton last week. No, we've talked about getting out, though, because those black drum are in the area.
Boomers, they're heading at fishes. That's my podcast. The podcast is under my blog on I-73 ESPN. It's about that Great Bay drum bite that just, I got a call from Gary Adair. We know Gary Adair, correct?
Yes, sir.
Ready? Tom P., the drummer here. Goodbye. And that was
it.
Then he sent me some photos. Hutch, you take care. Have a great season, man. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management. Well, I got goosebumps. Hutch just lays it out. Okay, man, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Hopefully, we're going to be talking some more turkey time. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News. I'm Carmen Roberts. The Supreme Court orders access to the abortion pill mifepristone to remain open without restrictions while it considers the case.
We'll see how quickly they make a decision. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get one by late Tuesday. For now, though, access is available everywhere in the U.S.
Fox's Shannon Bream. A device exploded near Japanese Prime Minister Kishida today as he prepared to give a speech. He escaped injury, but the suspect did not escape police. Prosecutors charged Airman Jack Teixeira yesterday with unauthorized access and transmission of classified documents. And before President Biden left Ireland, he had this to say.
I've instructed the department to make sure that they get to the root of why he had access in the first place.
And a single ticket won last night's $476 million mega jackpot, Mega Millions jackpot. That ticket was sold in New York City. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Mainly cloudy skies overnight. It'll be mild with an overnight low of 60. Mostly cloudy skies Saturday. It'll be more humid with a thundershower in the afternoon. Saturday's high 75. Low clouds Saturday night. Mild with a low of 56. Sunday, expect a passing shower or two. We'll reach a high Sunday of 75. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95. 5.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 15th and 16th. Yeah, that was Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor, New Jersey Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman Magazine, Wind, Whales, and Wealth Management. Hey, man, we're going to change some gears here. Change some gears because in, let's see, 7, 8, 9 days we got. Turkey season is opening up. You Turkey Day is going to be next Saturday, the 22nd. And I want to remember last week we had on Jimmy Sloan, wildlife biologist. He's a upland game bird project leader. We're talking to his assessment of his prospectus, rather, of this spring's gobbler season. And he mentioned the great work done by the National Wild Turkey Federation here in New Jersey. Very special guest on the line right now. Congratulations are in order on his... I'd say volunteer, the promotions, volunteer gets promotion. I don't know. A new position is Lou Gambale. He is the state chairman of the President's Council of the National Wild Turkey Federation. There are nine of these individuals in the country, and we have the chairman right here in South Jersey. Lou Gambale, how you doing? Congratulations.
Good morning, Tom. Always great talking to you, man.
Lou, that's a hell of a title, man. Huh, listen to me.
Yeah, well, I'm not much for titles. Just bring on the birds.
I understand you had a successful hunt in the Southlands.
I did. I was down in North Carolina last weekend, and I can tell you, Saturday opening day, the weather was interesting to say the least. But Bill had a great hunt and a great time. Love opening my season up in North Carolina. It's very special to me.
Lou, how many states do you turkey? Besides listeners, and Lou's hunted turkeys internationally down there in the Yucatan somewhere. How many states do you turkey hunt in, Gambale?
It varies year to year. This year, it looks like it's going to be North Carolina, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and maybe Ohio. We might be able to slip that one in, too, I hope.
Now, Ohio, are those still Easterns, or the Merriams?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, yes, they're Easterns, yep.
Where are the Merriams and the Golds?
Well, you get into your Merriams, you start thinking about places like Wyoming, Montana, a good portion of Nebraska, South Dakota. They're your primary areas for your Merriam turkeys.
And what about the Golds? Is that south? Is that Florida? Or what's the deal?
Golds, no. Your Golds turkeys, you've got a small population in Arizona. Ooh. And New Mexico. And outside of that, nowhere else in the United States. And then you've got to get down into the mountains of Mexico, up closer to our border. The Chihuahua Mountains are one of the better places to hunt the Golds.
Rhode Island, decent bird hunting up there?
Pardon me?
Rhode Island has decent turkey hunting up there?
Well, you know, it's starting to creep into the picture. I mean, it's we're blessed. We've got We've got bird population, huntable populations in 49 states. So
beautiful.
You know, when they're out there, you give them a shot and see what you can do. I mean, it's just like any turkey hunt. You know, it's your free range animal. You go out, you try to call them up, and you give it your best shot. Most times, a bird beats you.
This is true. I mean, listeners, and Ron Jones will attest it. Last year, man, I blew it. I waited another 2 minutes, another minute. Spur would have been right there. No, get impatient. Stood up. Boom! He was gone. Didn't even hear him coming
patience.
In.
Patience.
And Lou, that's good. And
key word.
My lovely Dee Marie, there's only a couple of minutes. You could, you know, me like and sit still. I'd have to chain me to this chair here in the studio. But New Jersey turkey hunting on the overall for our size, and we do have a good amount of public land. We have some great opportunities here, don't we?
We sure do. So we got 368,000 acres of wildlife management area throughout the state. That's exceptional when you look at the size and the population density of our state. And they're great opportunities. I mean, look, you gotta hunt hard for the birds. I mean, they're spread out in pockets throughout the state, and you know, if you have the luxury of hunting private land, it could increase your odds. But if all you've got is private land and you want to put the time in, you got to do your homework. You know, draw a zone mm-hmm. that's, you know, coincides with a management area that's within distance of you getting to it, and that you can do some scouting and such, and you can have a very successful hunt or season.
Lou, scouting is critical, especially with the season that's close. I mean, listen, we're seeing birds, you know, January, February, whole different ball game now. Now it's mating time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a whole different animal.
Your birds are broke up now. You know, the dominant gobblers have their hens, and, you know, you saw in February were, you know, your groups of toms and your groups of hens.
Yep.
And they're now dispersed out all over the landscape. So I think, you know, I tell folks scouting is a very important part of your hunt. You know, I always look and tell folks, I say, think about your hunt as before, during, and after the hunt, you know, and the before right now is important, right? Scouting, checking your pattern on your shotgun, you know, going over your equipment, you know, I mean, there's so many things that you can do right now before the season kicks in. So that first morning when you get up at 4:30 or 4 o'clock, put your feet on the floor. You know, all you got to do is you want to get in your vehicle and you want to get to where you're going, right? And start hunting.
Lou, my lovely Dee Marie, yeah. 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, she's going to be out there. yeah. She's period B out there in Turkey on area 60. 3 o'clock in the morning, Lou. I hear it on the other side of the house. So she'll be walking around with her diaphragm called. Oh, man, she is ready to go. We're speaking with Lou Gambale, State Chairman of the President's Council, National Wild Turkey Federation. Okay, Lou, let's get into the Wild Turkey Federation, the reintroduction of wild turkey, greatest wildlife management success story that, you know, in the white-tailed deer from near extinction. Here in Jersey, it started, what, 79 or 80, I believe? The work of the National Wild Turkey Federation in New Jersey, what does the Federation do?
Well, for us, we're now, we consider ourselves a full-scope conservation organization. So while, turkeys are in our name and they're still priority number one for us, the work we're doing now is much more broad-based than it was years ago. We've got things such as we just inked a 10-year partnership with the U.S. Forest Service to work on extensive work with clearing and thinning old timber and, prescribed burning throughout the country where applicable, things that are going to improve habitat for all wildlife. Most of the programs we do are centered around clean water, you know, healthy habitats equal healthy harvest.
Save the habitat, save the habitat, save the hunt, correct?
And now we've transferred out of that. We successfully hit that initiative, and now we're on, you know, healthy habitats, healthy harvests. And so when you improve your habitat, you improve it for a host of wildlife.
See, Lewis, that's another thing, too. People say, oh, it's strictly vertical organization like the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Bighorn Sheep, whatever. But no, this when you save all that land, Lou, all that property, enhance that, you're benefiting wildlife and fisheries across the board.
That's correct. And we're, so again, you know, there is a heightened emphasis on turkeys right now. I mean, we now have begun to put a lot of monetary focus on against wild turkey research. You're seeing research projects kicking off all over the country. Here in New Jersey, Jimmy may have talked about this a little bit. Next year, New Jersey will get in the game with the 3-year research project. Yep. These are extensive projects. And we're looking at a host of things. Unlike years past where, you know, it was a lot of I think based on visual observations. Now, with the, being able to use leverage GPS telemetry with the birds, we can mm-hmm. get much more accurate data. So we're pretty anxious about this. Some of the data that's coming back throughout the country is pretty compelling. And, you know, we've got decline in birds across the country. It's very concerning, and unlike a lot of other species, we want to get our arms around it.
Yeah, Lou, I was just about to ask you. We're speaking with Lou Gambale. He's the state chairman of the President's Council of National Wild Turkey Federation. Lou, I noticed that harvest. Well, again, there was a bump with the pandemic, the number of hunters out there. But it seems, yeah, bird numbers. Now, you always hear about the nuisance birds in the suburbs, blah, yada, yada. But, yeah, Lou, turkey numbers, you think they plateaued in Jersey? Actually, they've gone down on the over the past 5 or 6 years, have they not?
They have gone down, yes. There's no question. If you look at North Jersey, we've had a significant decline year over year. We hope, you know, we're getting rumblings that maybe they had a good hatch last year. We'd have to string together a few successive good hatches to even, you know, dent that decline. But there's a host of issues. And when you think about your point you brought up about nuisance birds, that's a product of really the continued loss of habitat.
Turkeys
are fickle. They need adequate habitat. And they're going to fight to survive just like any species. So they get into our development areas, and they love 55 older communities and such where there's a multiple of bird feeders. And, you know, they got a decent roost tree, and they've got bird feeders. That's where they're going to go and live their life. But, you know, those birds, we've got to include them in our overall populations, but they're certainly not going to want to come out of there and go to places where they don't have food sources and suitable habitat.
Easy food sources and lose of the habitat. So, Lou, besides habitat destruction, that is the primary. I get that, but what about the predation factor, Lou? You know, the bobcats are making a big comeback. We have the coyotes. We have the nesting raids by raccoons and possums. I mean, these poults, they have a tough go, man.
They got a real tough go. And look, predation certainly plays a part in you know, the management of any species. But what I tell folks is, remember, I don't believe anything was put here by accident. You know, all these animals on this planet, you know, we're put here for a reason. So as the wheel turns, you know, I think about our farm in North Carolina. You know, it's a little over 1,000 acres. It's got every predator known to man, from bears to, you know, to every nest raider, every snake, everything you can think of. 26 years I'm hunting that property. It's got a stable turkey population. That's because it's got a healthy ecosystem. That's right. You destroy the ecosystem, which man has done a good job of. And so henceforth, what you wind up with is smaller plots for animals to survive in. And so, all those things such as nest raiders and every other thing, they're going to be much more of a spotlight on them because it's probably a bigger influence than things. But at the end of the day, what I tell folks is there's a real rise right now on, I like to call it fad trapping. A lot of folks want to go out, they set some traps, they catch an animal, they get their picture on Facebook, everybody's excited. But I would tell you, if you're going to trap, target trap. Look at your landscape. Understand what's going on in that landscape before you trap. What animals do you want to take out? For instance, if you focus solely on coyotes, fine. Understand, though, if you've got a significant coon, possum, or skunk problem, you know, coyotes eat possums, okay? So if you're not dealing with the possums and that's your problem and you're dealing with coyotes, Now you're helping save the nest raider, right? So in the end of the day, it's not as simple as it, you know. And then the other one is, you know, let's utilize these animals, right? Let's go back with the original great trappers of this country were all about, which was total utilization of an animal when you harvested it. So I'm an advocate of that, right? I want to save our turkeys, but I also want to make sure we're respecting our wildlife, all our wildlife.
Okay, Lou, listen. Okay, Lou, we're up against a hard break here. Listen, there's a National Wild Turkey Federation. You need more information? Lou, where's the avenue for more information on the NWTF? Go.
Go right to our website, nwtf.net.org. Either way, on your internet, you're going to find us. We've just redone the website recently. It's great. It's packed with information. Surf yourself around in there. You'll get a great understanding of what we're all about. And I ask everybody, join our flock. We need you aboard.
Well said, Lou. I hope to see you in the field one of these days, brother. One of these upcoming weeks. Let's do it.
I'm with you, brother.
Listen, and by the way, there's still leftover and unclaimed turkey permits for sale. That's what I'm going to be doing next week. I'm scoping around, see what's available, and I'm off on like the Mondays and Fridays. I'm going to be out there, boy. Ooh, I'm too excited. Gumbali, get me messed up. You take care, brother.
Thank you, brother.
See ya. Great guy, Lou Gumbali. Up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
At the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, we are working now more than ever to fill the emptiness caused by hunger. We are the state's largest anti-hunger organization, and together with our 800-plus community partners, we are committed to delivering food, help, and hope to our hundreds of thousands of New Jersey neighbors in need. We couldn't do it without your support. Please go to cfbnj.org to donate today. That's cfbnj.org.
Protect yourself from utility scams. South Jersey Gas will never call you to demand immediate or on-the-spot payments. We use mail, phone, and in-person communications to make sure you have advance notice of an overdue balance before disconnecting service. Stay informed and don't become a victim. Not sure it's a scam? Just call us at 1-888-766-9900 or visit southjerseygas.com/beware of scams for more information.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, that'll be a wrap for Rack and Fin Radio this week with me, Tom P. Hey, listen, a quick report. What's happening down Cape May? What have they got holding Nick at Hands 2 Bait and Tackle? Nick, what's happening in the Peninsula County? What do you got?
Surf report. The guys are starting to pick some nice bass off our local jetties. Guys throwing some stick baits like Daiwa SP Minnows and the Yuzuri Mag Darters, fish up to 40 inches.
Oh!
And then starting to hear some weekies coming through.
Hallelujah! Finally, Hands 2 gets the word on the weekies. All in the back, anything off the jetties, under, you know, the bloodworms or the sandworms under a bobber? What's the deal?
Yeah, if you could try to find some bloodworms this time of year, I don't know. You might have to go up to the Raritan to get some of them.
But, hey, let me tell you something. These bloodworms, these guys, I call them the bloodworm bandits up there. Man, I'm not being disparaging. I'm seeing some of these. Nick, these worms are pathetic. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you're paying premium price for them. Hey, what's the word on the boomers, man?
Sounds like they're catching them north and south, but we just had some reports of them caught in the bay up around Fortescue. So, you know, any day now, once these marinas open up and let our boats get in the water, we're going to be catching drum like crazy.
Yeah, that's what last year was an exceptional year. I know some are being caught in Great Bay, and I had a call from a charter captain down there at a marina that had heard same thing, some boomers getting nailed up in Fortescue. So, listeners, give them about a week or so, man. Water temperatures are going to get up. The boomers will be in numbers. Hey, man, you have a good week. Hey, whoa. Anything in the back insofar as seen any bluefish yet?
Haven't seen any blues, but I'd heard of a couple really large flounder caught back there already. So it sounds like the year is really kicking off already.
All right. Okay, Nick, what are your hours down there at Hands 2? Go, what do you got?
We got 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Okay, man, Hands 2, Bait and Tackle on Cape May. Nick, we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, going to get a quick report up. Tucker DeWay, remember last week I had the gentleman from Empire Fishing and Tackle was running a youth trout derby. Fun time. Oh, we stopped by and that boardwalk Route 9 was packed. That was so refreshing to see. Whoa, all these kids and parents fishing. Chris, congratulations on it. That was one hell of a turnout, bro.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom. It was a pleasure having you there. Folks had a great time. Lots of the kids caught fish. Whole lot of first-timers, which was the best that we can ask for.
Absolutely right. Of course, now let's talk what's happening in the bay and what are you hearing out on the island? What's up?
On the island, they are getting some shorts right now. The bite is starting. Bloodworms are still the answer. Off of the river, Mullica, some poppers are starting to work. And, of course, you put a bloodworm on and you're going to get perch or striper.
I hope your bloodworms are in better conditions than some of the ones I've been seeing this past week. Mary, mother of God, they're thinner than snot.
Yeah, some of them are a little bit small. You know, when we pack them up, you can't do a dozen. You can't do 12. Yep. You got to do about 15 or 16. Want to make sure we're fair to all of our customers.
Unless there's
cheap nowadays.
Empire Fishing Tackle right next to Paccon Lake. They're a hell of a bass lake and pickerel lake as well, but it's going to be stocked with trout another 3 weeks. Somebody said they had a rainbow over 5 pounds caught there brought into your store. Is that legit?
Absolutely, yes. That was just an absolute monster. Had to be 4 or 5 pounds, no exaggeration.
Nice.
24, 26 inches. And what a great catch that was. We've got pictures. We'll be posting it at some point today.
Okay, man. We'll see you guys next week.
Tom, thank you. Have a great day.
See you. And that's a wrap for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. But just a minute or two here, people. There but for the grace of God, go I, go we. A guy came up to me, and it was in an Acme supermarket recently, a couple weeks ago. And we're talking, remember so-and-so, and so-and-so says, yeah, a guy liked to fish. We would banter fishing back and forth on occasion when I was down through the area. Come to find out he's in a compromised position right now. There's going to be a benefit for him. Going to be at Nardi's from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. next Saturday, April 22nd. I have a good friend of his on the line right now, a gentleman named Pete Hartwell. Tell us a little briefly about Jorge Dennis. What was that? A good man. And Pete, how's it going? I was kind of taken aback when you told me about this because I knew, again, met the guy here and there. He looked like the epitome of health.
Yeah, Tom. Jorge's a great family guy, outdoorsman, and he was just did anything for everybody locally in the community. He has a hotel on Long Beach Island as well, and just a great family guy. He has 8 kids, some grandkids, and he recently had 2 strokes in the past 6 months and have been in the hospital now since Christmas Eve second stroke.
Pete, I tell you, it really hits home when you know the person. I mean, even though it was like me with him a few times here and there, it's just, you looked at it, you said, this guy is dynamic. He's a hell of a guy. And then bang, listen, it's going to be Saturday, April 22nd, food, drinks, silent auction, Nardi's Tavern. That's on the island from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. All proceeds raised will be donated to Jorge directly and $30 per person, correct, Pete?
We'll also be having silent auctions to raise additional funds for Jorge. He will anything from Bruce Springsteen tickets to Phillies tickets to Red Sox Yankees tickets. Gift baskets to local restaurants, overnight stays, lots of different items to go ahead and bid on to go ahead and 100% all proceeds will be going to Jorge and his family.
This is prayers to Jorge Dennis and his family from Rack and Fin Radio. Pete, thanks for filling my listeners in on this. Again, listeners, when you know the person, when you at this really like Mary, mother, again, there but for the grace of God go we. Pete, God's prayers. We'll see you there next week. Maybe not, but I'll be cutting you guys a check for a donation either way.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Take care, brother. Yeah, man. That was, I was shocked. Whoa. Okay, people, get out and enjoy a little rain, but the fish are wet. Anyway, turkey season coming up. That tog bite is ferocious. Stripers on the Bite, Hands to Bait and Tackle on Cape May, where things are happening. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.